Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, we begin in the gospel lesson. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. This is the text. It's the meaning of Epiphany, the coming of the Gentiles, that together with the whole theme of light coming into the world. But Epiphany is known all over the world as Christmas for the Gentiles, and the theme is there that the giving of the Christ child was not simply for the people of Israel, but for the whole world. Not simply for a few, but for all. Not simply for those who were close to God, but for everybody, no matter how far away from Him. It is God's Son for the life of the world. And that is the theme that, at least back to Abraham, is all the way in place throughout the Old Testament. To Abraham, God promises, in you and in your seed, all families of the earth will be blessed. And the theme is picked up over and over again, and then into the time of the prophets. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Or the end of the Old Testament lesson, herds of camels will cover your land. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. Bearing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. And I ask you, pause. Focus on that verse. What's missing? Myrrh. Okay. So, as a good pastor, what you do is you say, well, I'm going to go searching through the Bible and I'm going to find that prophecy about the myrrh. Why is it missing from Isaiah chapter 60? So you look and you look and, well, actually, there is no prophecy about the myrrh. Myrrh is mentioned back in Genesis once, twice, in Exodus once, Song of Solomon. But you get into the prophets, and myrrh is completely absent. Why? We'll get to that a little later. So we have the Gentiles coming in. Oh, stop, hold on, wait a minute. Gentiles? Excuse me while I do a moment of the reaction of the Pharisees who wanted everything pure. Gentiles? Those Gentiles? Do you know what they do? Do you know what they eat? Gentiles? There's only one word for them, and that is unclean. Gentiles coming in? But it was God's plan to call the nations and all the nations into His family in Jesus Christ. So the Gentiles are coming in. And as the Gentiles come in, there's some history here. The Gentiles are wise men from the east, first off. Wise men, yes. From the east, from that area where the people of Israel were carried away into captivity, and Daniel became the chief of the wise men of Babylon, and the wise men perhaps were aware of the prophecies of the Old Testament, and so when they see the star rising in the east, they remember the prophecy. Numbers 24:17, I believe it is. A star rising, a scepter in Judah. And they say, aha, it's the time of the Messiah, the promised one. And he's born in Israel. And we need to go worship him. You see, that conclusion shows that they were wise men, that they understood something about this child, that they, as the Gentiles, were also invited. And so they go to Israel. Where do you go and search for a king? in Israel? Well, you go to the palace, don't you? And getting to the palace, they run into King Herod, which is the oops moment. Because knocking on the palace door and asking King Herod, where's the newborn king? There's no newborn king in the palace, is there? There's bloody King Herod who kills off anybody who even looks like a rival. But he puts on this front and says, you go and search for the child so I too may come and worship him. Not at all his intent. He's a liar. But go and search for the child. Where do they search for the child? Why, the prophecies say in Bethlehem, and there they go. And the star that they had seen in the east now went before them, standing over the place where he was, the house, no longer in the stable, no longer in the manger, but in the house. It's a little while later. It's after the 40th day when Mary and Joseph went up to Jerusalem and presented Jesus at the temple. It's a little while later, and they go in and they worship him and they present their gifts. And such gifts they are. It's time for us to pause, because we have gold to bring to the altar. And we'll place that right in the center of the display. Gold. Gold is for a king, isn't it? And such a king he is. He is a king, but he is a different sort of king. He is a king that, strangely enough, this king says, foxes have holes, birds have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. This is the king who, at the Last Supper, gets up from the table and takes the bowl of water and begins to wash his disciples' feet. This is the king who says, but I am among you as one who serves. This is a different kind of king. This is a king who wins his kingdom in a very odd and strange way. He doesn't come with armies. He doesn't come conquering. He doesn't come sweeping over the land and demanding this and that. He comes as king to win his kingdom by dying for his people. He wins his kingdom, and then he begins to gather his kingdom. And for 2,000 years it has been this way. He gathers his kingdom one soul at a time, one person at a time, inviting us to know him, and to know him through the scriptures, but also to know him as he personally is involved in our lives. Different kind of king. And then there's the second gift, frankincense, and it's time for us to pause again. And the frankincense comes forward. Frankincense. Incense owns a deity nigh. Frankincense is for worship. Ah. What did those wise men from the east know? They came in and they presented their gifts and they worshiped him. They didn't simply bow before a king. They worshiped, knowing that this child, he is not just some ordinary king. He is not some great king. He is God. God who comes to be with us. God who comes to walk with us. The Apostle John, what does he say? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father. We've seen him. We've reached out and touched him, John says. And in Jesus Christ, we can know God. In his face, we can see the heart of God. This is our God who comes to us, not in thundering wrath, not demanding, not giving commandments. This is our God who comes to us in mercy, in love. All around the world, people talk about searching for God. And usually as they talk about searching for God, it is God in his might, God in his power, God in his glory. But, you know, if you were able to find God simply in his might, his power, and his glory, to stand before God in that way, you couldn't do it. Meeting God in that way, it would destroy you, because he is holy and you are not. Because he is holy and you and I, we are sinners. Throughout the Old Testament, the theme runs along that to see God face to face is to be destroyed. And yet in Jesus, suddenly God comes into our world, and in human flesh, he walks among us. Martin Luther says, if I find God in his holiness, that is complete and utter and eternal destruction for me. But I find him veiled in flesh. I find him in that child, and in that child, all of a sudden, God is not there with his might and his power, but with his mercy, with his love. And I am invited to be in the presence of God. And there's the wonder and there's the amazement of it all. That I, as a sinner, am invited to be a part of God's family and to live forever with God. This is the astonishing part of the Christian faith. That God who should, when I stand before him, speak that word of judgment and wrath, that instead he speaks the word of love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. And I can be a part of his family and his people. So frankincense for God, but what a different kind of God we have. And one more. What is that third gift? Myrrh. It's time to bring it forward. Gold and frankincense are there in the prophecies. It's pretty clear what they're all about. Myrrh. Why is myrrh missing? And if myrrh is missing, why do the wise men bring it? What do they know? You know, if they're reading a scroll from Isaiah, then they know the part they have to play. Camels and kings from the east and bringing gold and frankincense. But then they add the myrrh. Why is that? What do these wise men know? And this is why they are called wise men. Perhaps they've read some other prophecies from Isaiah. Perhaps they've read Isaiah 53. What does that say? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53 calls Jesus a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It tells of the dying of the Christ, of the rising of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53. And so the myrrh, the bitter perfume, speaking of a life of gathering gloom and of sorrow and sighing and bleeding and dying and sealed in the stone-cold tomb. And the wise men have learned that part. And they bring the myrrh, which, by the way, also, it's a very strange gift for a little baby. Myrrh. This child is appointed, so Simeon said, for the rising and falling of many. A sword will pierce your own soul also, Simeon said to Mary. Myrrh. Right from the beginning of Jesus' life here on earth, the preaching was there that he was the Christ, the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, given for the sins of the world, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the Lamb of God whose blood washes us clean. Myrrh. And so the Gentile kings come, the Gentile wise men come, and they are accepted in God's kingdom. And they bring gifts that preach a sermon to us down through the ages. And the sermon that they preach by their gift is for us. Because we also are Gentiles. We also have wandered far from God. And we also are called by this little Lord Jesus, called by the Savior, invited to come close because we are invited to be a part of the family of God. We are accepted in God's presence. Oh. Gentiles who are accepted, Gentiles who are welcomed into God's family, what do we do with that? Well, we celebrate. And we insist on celebrating, and we will celebrate, and we'll celebrate not only now, we'll celebrate not only for a little while, not only on Sunday mornings, we're going to celebrate for all eternity. Because this Jesus Christ, he is our Lord, he is our Savior, and he has said to us that we are welcomed and that we are invited and that he wants us to be a part of his kingdom to all eternity. So we celebrate, and we begin celebrating, and we're going to celebrate Sunday after Sunday. That's the theme for the year. We're celebrating because we are part of God's family. In Jesus' name, amen.